We plan to talk through the issues faced by startup founders and the people close to them.
That overused phrase, work-life balance.
It is an amazingly focusing time.
This is what we do, you know, aside from our families, this is our whole work life.
I am also known as Dr. Wine.
You know, this is a little bit non-traditional.
A little more zen in the startup life. Zen founder.
Those days were a mental struggle.
I have been stressed in the past, and I know that I will be in the future.
A founder and his or her significant other will both get value from the episode. This week, we're talking about dealing with transitions, and we are experts in this recently, having dealt with recent cross-country move for the four of us. Both of our kids changed schools, obviously, as well as homes, and then city locations. I have essentially transitioned jobs, and you have done all of that, plus essentially, you know, left a full-time job in Fresno to basically, you know, be doing a very part-time thing right now and kind of trying to figure out what your next act is.
Yeah, no big changes at all.
Right. It's a lot of them packed into 60 days or 90 days or whatever. I mean, I guess it's actually a little bit longer than that, huh? Because we had the house on the market and then it sold and then we moved out of it and then we moved in with friends and then we lived in Oregon for a week and then at the beach for 2 or 3 weeks. So there's been a lot of transitions over the past few months.
And I think this is a timely topic, not only for us, but for people who have children in school. Lots of families are doing transitions now as they shift from kind of a more lackadaisical summer schedule to a more structured school schedule. And I think that people are always going through different kinds of transitions, especially in the life of a founder where your work might have lots of different iterations. And certainly people who have families are often going through the ebb and flow of change. So we're not trying to just talk about our situation and our life changes, although it's so front and center in our lives, we can sort of like hardly talk about anything else. But obviously the goal is also to make it applicable to the different kinds of transitions that other folks are going through.
Right, because if you're a typical founder, you're going to be going through a number of transitions, you know, every few years, probably. You're likely to perhaps relocate, perhaps move from home to home. Almost certainly, if you're a restless founder, you're going to be changing jobs and or leaving your job to move to consulting or to move to products. Completely anecdotally, but the founders I know, they're just reinventing themselves pretty frequently. We tend to get restless, and it's both a blessing and a curse, right? The blessing is that it keeps us moving forward, keeps us growing, keeps us learning, and makes us interesting people. And then the curse is that sometimes you get restless when maybe you should stay in focus and you're going to introduce transitions that maybe are detrimental or, you know, that you maybe introduce too much transition. But the idea here is that founders in general, I think, are going to go through a lot more transitions during their lifetime than someone who takes that 9-to-5 job and, you know, works for 20 or 30 years.
I think that is very true. Also anecdotally, but, you know, I think that's part of the founder personality, kind of the founder itch is to have more freedom and control. And that freedom and control creates for most folks a certain degree of flexibility. And so people are moving in different places. People are nomads for a while or are shifting even within the kind of business that they're running as they're trying to pivot, to use my good Silicon Valley language, and keep up with the different changes in technology as everything moves quickly. So anyway, I think transition is a really important thing for founders and their families to have a pretty strong grasp on how to do transition well and not let it sort of steamroll you and derail you.
Yeah, because transitions in general are hard, even for people who are good at transitions. They often don't know what to expect, right? They don't fully grasp the challenges it's going to create. And I mean, recently, you know, with her move here to Minneapolis, I thought the transition, the move transition, would be really hard, and I was not looking forward to it, and I was very stressed out about it. And I think you were a lot more comfortable with the move, but I think you were a little bit blindsided by how hard it was to leave your job. You've talked about that a little on the podcast, that leaving that identity behind and leaving some of these clients you've seen for a long time, leaving your coworkers. I mean, the whole thing was, it was a transition that the difficulty of it, the extent of the difficulty I think, kind of came out of nowhere for you.
Right. The difficulty in the transition for me wasn't the location as much as some of the identity shifts that happened for me as we made this move. And I think that's a really important thing to just continue to like hit home over and over. We've said it before on the podcast, even in recent episodes, that even really good changes can be really hard. In fact, some of the best things that happen in people's lives, having a baby or getting married or getting a promotion or taking that new job or selling your company, they're really positive, good things that, you know, are desirable, but they come with some emotional angst, like a significant amount of upheaval to whatever patterns were existing in your life. So I was really happy and excited to move, but the sort of who am I and what do I do with myself all day parts of it were much more difficult than I expected.
Right. If you could have relocated, the new house isn't a big change for you, or it is a change, but you go really well with those kinds of changes. And the new city is also easy, but it was that job. And it's like, if you could have transplanted your whole job here with all your people, it would have been so much simpler.
Oh, absolutely. If I could just bring my people with me, that would be great.
Yeah. Which is, there's something to be said for that. So we have put together 5 tactics or 5 steps to dealing with transition. And it's things that we're kind of pulling out of our own experience. It's both you and I. It's also the experience of our kids who have experienced a lot of transition in terms of the, like I said, new house impacts them a lot. It impacts us a lot less. I think you and I have lived in a bunch of different houses during our lifetime. But you know, our youngest, he had never lived in any other home aside from the home in Fresno. And our oldest had really didn't remember the home before Fresno. So to them, this is a big deal, right? It's a big deal to leave that. And then the city being different is another one, although for them, probably smaller. Like for us, the city being different is, I think, pretty impactful, right? Because you have to learn to navigate it and we have to find just all the stuff, the dentist and the doctors and the repair shop and the place to get your haircut and all that stuff. Whereas the kids don't have to worry about that. So I think it's more of a transition. And then for them, schools, right? Not being around their friends and not being oriented at the school. So there's a lot of transition for the whole family. And we've noticed each of us deals with them differently and each of us gets hung up on some things and it's a lot easier for some of us to deal with other things. So
how do you think you're dealing with the transition? Like, what are your coping strategies or?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think my coping strategies have been, there's a couple things. It's to find the familiar, because I like the familiar a little more. So I'm thinking like I started kind of listening to podcasts again, but it's very specific podcasts that I've listened to for a long time. And so on my drive into work or on my ride in, I pop the earbud in and I can hear, you know, Tom Merritt on Daily Tech News Show. And I've listened to him for, I don't know, 4 or 5 years. And it's just a lot of podcasts that I've listened to and it's comforting. Right. I've also started going back. I haven't been listening to music a lot. I mean, except for when I'm really kind of deep into trance working is what I mean. But when do you do this, man? Turn on the lava lamp. No, I've been outside of work. I've been listening to music quite a bit, but it's all older music. It's music from, I don't know, within the past, let's say 10 to 20 years. It's kind of just stuff that I'm rediscovering. And that feels familiar though, right? It institutes or incites a feeling of maybe more familiar or some comfort. And then I think you and I hanging out and even with the kids, like going out and doing adventuring things. Like we played golf on the roof of the Walker Museum here, Modern Art Museum. And we've been out on the paddle boards. That helps just because it's so much fun. So I think that's been another one. And then, you know, I realized it really early on when we moved in here, one of the first things I wanted to get unpacked and put together was the kitchen, because cooking for me is part of that. It's part of feeling at home is having the ability to know where everything is in the kitchen and being able to navigate it, make some dinner and do that. So I think those have been my coping mechanisms. How about you?
It's funny. I feel like I almost have the opposite strategy. Like if yours is find the familiar and develop or return to former patterns that felt comforting and familiar to you, mine is almost like lavish in the novel. I mean, I've been doing lots of adventuring and making lots of plans to go places and try different restaurants. And I have my checklists and my these things and my that things. And so for me, I think my way of sort of coping with the discomfort is to like just rush headlong into all that's new and different and really do everything I can to like enjoy and know and familiarize myself with the new environment and sort of take all of the good things that are available.
Right. And this is in line with our personalities, really much in line. Didn't you take some tests and it was like you were like an 11 out of 10 in terms of like needing new experience?
Yeah. Based on the big 5 model of personality, I think it's a 16 PF. Anyway, I took a personality test and most people are sort of in the middle-ish, maybe kicked to one side or another on the different aspects of personality. So if personality is a spectrum, very few of us are like true hardcore all the way over to one end, extroverts or introverts. But anyway, one of the aspects of this personality scale is called openness to new experience. And I am like at the extreme edge of that, which means I have just a high degree of need for new and novel experiences.
Did that come with an asterisk that said, like, a footnote, you will never live in the same place for very long? Don't plan on getting married. Don't plan on doing anything for more than a year.
That is not nice.
No, I'm just kidding.
It is not antithetical to commitment, just so you know.
Whew, that's good news.
Yeah, I can rest easy in that. Anyway, so you go for familiar. I go for novel. And I think our kids kind of line up in that way a little bit too. Our youngest definitely looks for patterns and longs for the old and is stressed out by new things. And our older son actually really seems to relish in the, like, the newness of new experiences.
Yep. And both of them have enjoyed having their audiobooks playing for the past few weeks, which I think for them is a little bit of a comfort.
Yeah, they have been funny in their ways of developing their own patterns here. So they come home from school and sort of have a snack and then run upstairs and instantly start making like art projects. So they've created this whole like paper army of different characters and creatures that are like loosely based on books or video games. And they just sort of mishmash it all together. And they're creating like hundreds of paper creatures while they listen to audiobooks, and they just sit in the quiet and color and cut and make these creatures.
Yeah, it's really interesting. For hours, you know, it's a trip, and this isn't something they did before we left.
Yeah, it's a new thing here.
So should we dive into these 5 steps for dealing with transition?
Yeah, I think the truth about these 5 steps that I've written down in our outline is not so much that they are steps that happen in order or that they are tactics, but these are things that I actually have found myself telling myself and the kids. And the first one is, yes, this is hard. Like, I really want to affirm for people in the midst of transition that it is hard. So whatever disorientation or upheaval you feel, whatever depression or anxiety you feel, is completely in line with what it feels like to be in the midst of transition. So I want to say that to the kids, because I want to acknowledge that what they're doing is formidable. And I want to say that to myself, because it allows me to be a little bit more gracious with myself when I'm having a bad day or I'm feeling like lonely or stressed or sad. So I think the first thing to sort of acknowledge about any kind of transition, again, even if it's like a positive change in your life, this is hard. So cut yourself some slack and acknowledge that what you're doing is a formidable challenge.
And I think hand in hand with this is that just because it's hard doesn't mean it's not worth it, or doesn't mean you made the wrong choice. And even if it's hard for weeks or potentially months, that if you made the choice when it made sense to do it, then kind of the negative emotional ramifications of it now shouldn't necessarily make you rethink or, you know, or doubt or regret that decision.
I mean, nothing that's worth doing is easy. It's a little bit of a saying to stitch on a pillow, but I think that's really true. Anything that's really valuable in your life is hard. So it takes some guts and it takes some energy and patience and, you know, some real inner strength to do some of these transitions well. So I think that the second thing that I found myself saying out loud a lot to the kids, especially as they've begun new schools in community schools that are really well-established communities. Like, we live in a neighborhood where people have lived here for lots and lots of years, and there's not a ton of transition in and out of the neighborhood. And so they're entering classrooms where the kids all know each other, and the moms all know each other, and the dads all know each other from last year's potluck and preschool and all those other things. So it's not been simple to try to break in, especially for our 5th grader, because he's kind of an odd kid anyway, and now he's the new kid, and it's really hard. And so I keep saying to him, like, you're so brave. You're so brave. You just show up and you keep trying, and you talk to a new kid every day, and you keep at it until something breaks loose and you have like a friend who wants to hang out after school, and you just acknowledge that the difficulty of this transition means that it takes a lot of heart and courage to do this. And I don't think we think of courage as like grand heroics, but I think there's a lot of courage that goes into little life things. And it takes a lot of courage to decide that you're no longer going to work for yourself and run your own company, but you're going to allow yourself to get sort of subsumed into a larger company where you have other people to answer to. That takes courage to just say, I don't know exactly what this is going to be like. It's unknown, but I'm going to try it.
And I think just as our first step here of, yep, this is hard, gives you permission to feel things and to kind of admit to yourself that it is hard and should be hard, this one, I think, You're So Brave, is indicating that you're strong enough to deal with it and that you're going to make it through it and that you have the ability and the kind of the power inside of you to overcome difficult things like these transitions, whatever transitions you're going through.
Yeah, I think that positive affirmation to yourself is really important. This is hard, but I have the resources to do it. It's not always going to feel good, but I'm strong enough. So the third thing that we've touched on a little bit, but the third thing that we have been working with our kids, I sort of call transitional objects. But I think what you said earlier about find the familiar is the adult version of that. When we talk about transitional objects in psychology, we're often talking about child development and children making a leap from one developmental like task to another developmental task. And sometimes there's this thing that helps them get through it. The classic example is sort of the blankie that you take to daycare because it's your first day being away from mom and dad. And so you take something familiar and comforting with you to this new environment. So when you put the kitchen together and you're like, now I know where the spatula is, that's your transitional object in that moment. Like it feels familiar and comforting.
Totally. There's that one frying pan that has, it's a nonstick coating that's like German and it's made out of stone. It's not Teflon. And once I had that in my hand, like I know how that pot feels in my hand. I know exactly how heavy it is. I know how the handle is shaped. And then I have the one spatula that I use to make eggs every morning. And it's just as lame as it sounds. Like the day that I started using those again and making scrambled eggs or whatever, it felt familiar and it felt more like, oh, okay, this is home. Like this is our new home. This is what life looks like now. And it definitely helped me just feel more comfortable. It's a little thing, right? It sounds like a little thing. But I mean, even with our youngest, he, has been stressing out about school. First it was not wanting to go at all. And then when he would go, he'd get a stomach ache right before lunch. And he said it was because he missed us so bad, and it kind of breaks your heart. He'd come home and be really sad about it. And we came up with the idea of basically giving him, literally, it was like a card that had come in the mail on some junk mail. And I don't even remember what the card said, but it was just a little, it was like the size of a business card, but it was a little fancier and it was thicker cardstock. And I said, this is your mama data card and take this with you and it will remind you of us. And, just kind of made it up on the spot. And he took it the next day and he did better. He didn't have the stomach ache. I don't know how much it particularly helped him, but he didn't have a stomach ache. And then he said, I lost the card, and he got really upset. So then you and I just gave him each one of our business cards and basically said the same thing. And it's nice because the business cards are basically expendable. Even if he loses them, we're okay. But I think that's the type of maybe transitional object that he needs at this point, being 6 years old. It's just something to remind him that we are out there, and that maybe when he's thinking of us, we're thinking of him or whatever.
There's something really funny about that though. Our little kid carrying around our business cards.
I know. It is.
Like, we couldn't give him, like, a photo or...
I couldn't find it. I was thinking, like, what could I give him? But I just didn't have any photos. I guess we could get the... with that Kodak Insta camera out and do it, or I guess I could print them out. But anyways, yeah, I didn't think of it at the time. And I think it was like ready to go out the door. And so I was like, the mail was there and I just grabbed the thing. And now we're using cards. So
he can stick it in his pocket and it's really easy. So yeah, finding those familiar patterns or certain objects that bring a lot of comfort is a great strategy for dealing with transition. And then the fourth one is my strategy. That's the let's make it fun. Like let's just jump into all that's good and new about this new situation. I, kind of talked about that already.
But we didn't dive into like the level of fun that we've had in the past 6 weeks. I mean, seriously, like we've probably gone out to eat more in the past 6 weeks at a new place every time than we have in the past I don't know, 4 months, 5 months, try not to exaggerate, but I mean, we literally are, we're having these amazing brunches because Minneapolis knows how to do food. Like their food selection is amazing. Then these brunches, we've gone and seen, have we seen 2 live musical acts or 3? I mean, we saw Explosions in the Sky the other night at First Avenue, this iconic Minneapolis club. Our kids, you know, like I said, we took them to mini golf on top of a museum. We've been to another museum several times, paddleboarding every other day.
The children's theater.
Yep.
Scooter rides, bike rides, live music outside, several playgrounds.
Just a lot of stuff like that, I think, is your superpower, is getting to a new place and figuring out what is cool and then basically executing and bringing the momentum. That's a skill and you do it very well. And we all want to go. And especially once we get there, we have a lot of fun, but it takes someone to initiate it. And that's something that you and I have cataloged things in a Google Doc. And so it's all there, but then you're the one that's like, tonight, let's just meet at this happy hour and then take the kids to the waterfall.
It does take a lot of energy to like bring that active energy to a transition when you're already tired. So it's life-giving for me, which is why it works. But I understand why it's not easy to have that strategy.
Yeah, but you know what the kids say, what their motto is, mom gets fun done.
The last strategy that we've been using or talking about as a family is phone a friend. So, you know, this is just what it sounds like. It's reaching out for help and support. And, you know, I spent an hour on the phone with a girlfriend in Fresno the other day, and it was just really helpful, and have scheduled different phone dates with different friends. I have one friend that I talk to on the phone every Sunday night anyway, but I'm just really spending more time on the phone than I have recently. But it's been important to connect and just, again, bridge that transition from people that I have known and loved for a long time to this new place with new people. We've helped our kids do that too. We have a family that we're really close to in Fresno, and they have 2 daughters who are roughly the same ages as our boys. And they've been doing sort of a loose once a week Skype date, and just seeing that familiar friend and swapping stories about the new school year has been really, really important for them.
Yeah, I haven't done as much of this remotely. I have been emailing with an old friend that's been nice, but it has been good to have you guys here, right? The family, because you guys are, you know, obviously good friends. And then to have the rest of the Drip team here has been big, to be able to have Derek and Anna and Zach and be able to go hang out with them or to be at work day to day. I think it's been good to not feel alone. I think, you know, if we had moved here and I was working alone in the office, which I did for a couple weeks early on, it was pretty isolating, and it's pretty lonely to be the new person at a big company. And I think if that had been the whole year, it would have been a lot harder for me for sure.
So I think to wrap it up, whatever version of transition you're going through in your life, appreciate that transition is difficult and it's hard. It's hard emotionally. It's hard relationally. It can be hard on your body. There's lots of levels of hard. And the fact that you're doing it and that you're in the midst of trying to figure it out, I think means that you're so brave, that you are finding the strength that you need to work through the challenges of reinventing yourself in whatever capacity you're doing that. And I think, as Rob and I've talked about, there's this balance between enjoying the familiar, finding the familiar, surrounding yourself with comfort objects and comfort patterns and your special frying pan, and then balancing that with jumping into the new and exploring and experiencing the fun and the benefits of the new situation. And lastly, I think transitions, because they're hard and they're a vulnerable time and they can really stretch you. And if you're doing a location transition, they can be really lonely. So it's a great time to really reach out and connect to other people. Even if you're not feeling very social or feeling very good, it's a good time just to get on the phone or text back and forth with a buddy and just really connect with people who have known you for a long time, have a sense of your history, and care about you and can show up and make you laugh or offer some encouragement.
The thing I try to remember during these transitional periods is that any state you're in always feels like you're going to be there forever. I remember when our oldest was really young, little baby, and you're dealing with frustrations of whatever, like spitting up too much, or, you know, he had something wrong with his throat and he would spit up too much. And someone said, like, that is going to go away. Like, it's going to be like this for 3 months or 6 months. It feels like it's going to be like this forever, but it's going to change, you know? And that's how I feel. That's how I've been trying to think about this transition, because right now it is still a lot of logistics, and it's like we don't have people who do things. You know, we don't have our, like I said, our doctor or the person. I went and got a haircut and I just didn't like the haircut, you know. And these are little things, but they do just add up, and they're micro frustrations. And I keep telling myself, like, yeah, but this will all be solved in the next few months. You know, it is a temporary state.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Zen Founder. Our theme song is A New Beginning by bensound.com, used under Creative Commons.